The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Yeah, of course, today is Yom HaShoah. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we get into talking about the Holocaust Memorial Day, which I hope the listeners will also give their contributions. We started the debate already yesterday, and I hope that people have had their chance to air some thoughts. But before we get into that, just a report that's coming in from Syria saying that 4 Syrian soldiers were apparently injured by an alleged Israeli airstrike around the area of Damascus last night. This is according to the Syrian state news agency. We understand that there were some attempts to shoot down Israeli aircraft, and in fact, one anti-aircraft missile was reported to have landed in a built-up area in a residential area in the Lebanese town of Hula, which is located not too far from Kiryat Shmoneh. We understand that there was quite a lot of damage done on the ground in Damascus, as well as these 4 Syrian soldiers who were injured. We are led to believe that these strikes have come against the backdrop of a series of cargo flights that took place between Syria and Iran. It seems as if though there might be, again, shipments of weapons and potentially of missiles from Iran towards Syria, not only over the last few days, but potentially over the last few weeks. And so this is just more of the same, just another indirect front that Israel seems to be battling with Iran on. You know, we've got the battle that took place in Vienna early this week and is due to continue. We've got the battle that seems to be taking place in the Red Sea and in general on the international waters via these various attacks that are going on between Israeli and Iranian ships. And, of course, we've got the battles that take place on the borders of Israel, on the Syrian border, on the Gaza border, and the Lebanese border, where the Iranians seem to have their fingers almost in every pie.
Yeah, and what's so interesting is it's become so common now that we've got Syria, they're fighting Iran and Syria, as you mentioned, on the seas. It's pretty much almost everywhere except directly between Iran and Israel.
Well, and if that was to actually open up as a direct battle, then that would clearly be on a completely different scale. One of the areas of battle that I didn't mention is, of course, in the cyber world, where there are substantial battles taking place on a daily basis, attacking not only information sites and commercial sites that are in cyberspace, but, of course, also these attempts to try to infiltrate, gain intelligence information, and to influence what's happening on the ground via the cyber world. So, yeah, these battles are taking place almost in every way except directly. Let's hope that that will continue to be the case and we won't see any direct conflict break out between Iran and Israel, because that clearly would be a very, very serious development.
It would. Today is Holocaust Remembrance Day. So what activities take place in Israel during this time? What does Israel look like, essentially, is what I would love to know.
I think the good place to start is to talk about the name that's been attributed to this day that was declared by the Knesset back in the 1950s. And this is Yom HaShoah V'Hagvura. And the Hagvura part, the second part, is very important because that refers to heroism. It's not only about commemorating those who perished in the Holocaust. And, of course, we do stand to silence a little later today in about an hour or so when the country will come to a halt and we will recall and remember those who perished during the Shoah. But we also remember the heroism, those people who actually stood up against what was an impossible situation. And it also refers to the date that we use, which is the 27th of Nisan, a week before Yom HaTzmaut. And the reason that that date was chosen was because that is approximately the date of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, which again is about heroism rather than trying to drown in a certain level of misery. And of course, there is misery, and we need to recall the negative side in those who fell. But a lot of it is about talking about the heroic acts and the fact that we today as a Jewish nation survive largely due to those people who were prepared to stand up and to take a stand against what was happening, even though the odds were absolutely impossible. We do remember that 1/3 of world Jewry was destroyed during that period, which began 80 years ago when the mass extermination program began. We also remember that the Jews were not the only victims. I mean, we might be the largest group who were victims, but there was something like 3 to 4 million Soviet prisoners of war who were exterminated by the Germans. There were almost 2 million non-Jewish Poles who were exterminated by the Germans. There were Jehovah's Witnesses. There were gays. There were there were Gypsies. All different kinds of groups. The Germans had this idea that they wished to assert their authority, to exert their superiority over other people. And so, while it is somewhat about anti-Semitism, because we can't forget that aspect, but it's not purely about anti-Semitism. This is about racism on a much broader scale, and of course, human rights abuses of a major proportion in a way that has never been repeated and hopefully will never be repeated again. And so, you know, there are a lot of things that we need to think about, and we need to think about how we mark this day for ourselves, you know, on the back of what I said yesterday, in a way that is relevant not only to my generation, but also to the younger generation. And in Israel, the program already began yesterday at Yad Vashem, where there were memorials, speeches by the Prime Minister and the President. There was six beacons were lit by survivors of the Shoah. And those memorial ceremonies will continue today at 10 o'clock this morning, which on our clock is about an hour and 10 minutes from now. There will be a 2-minute siren. Israel will come to a standstill. Everybody in the street, cars on the highway, everybody, wherever they are, will simply come to a halt. It's a fascinating scene to see cars on a 4-lane highway suddenly pulling up simply in the middle of the road. No need to pull aside because nobody's driving during that 2-minute period. Everybody just pulls up in the lane, stops their car right there and then, and will get out and stand next to the car while the siren sounds. So that's a moment that we just take to remember those who perished Al Kiddush Hashem. You know, in the name of God, in the name of being Jews, that was the reason that they were exterminated. So then, of course, many other programs to try and bring it home to people in a more personal way. There's been a project which they called Zikaron Basalon, remembering in your living room. And this is about Holocaust survivors who go around to people's individual homes and sit with small groups of people to try and tell their stories. Something like 500,000 Israelis have taken part in this particular program. Of course, the day will ultimately, there will also be a memorial candle lit at the Knesset, which will be lit at 10 to 11. And then there will be another ceremony beginning at 1 o'clock at Yad Vashem. With the day ending, there will be a ceremony later this afternoon at the Kibbutz Lochamei HaGetaot, the kibbutz named in the name of the ghetto fighters, which was founded by Holocaust survivors back in 1949. It has a museum which remembers the ghetto fighters, and that is where a final ceremony will take place for the day. And as I say, this is really about, you know, thinking about how we as a nation were really put at risk during that period, how we managed to survive. And it's very pertinent and relevant and I think very appropriate that in a week from now, we remember how well we've done as a nation. We remember the almost 80 years that Israel has survived, and we celebrate our independence, not only as Israelis, but as Jews coming out of the ashes of the Shoah. So that is really the program that goes on today. Just some little facts and figures. We know we talk a lot about the fact that there are very, very few Holocaust survivors left. I'm not quite sure whether people understand what that means, what the numbers are, but I saw something which I think would be interesting for people to hear. 174,500 survivors of the Shoah currently living in Israel. Approximately 31,000 of them are over 90 years of age. And apparently 41 Holocaust survivors are dying now on a daily basis. 900 survivors of the Shoah died due to corona over the past year or so. And all in all, something like 14,500 survivors of the Shoah have died since last year this day. So that gives you an idea of how people are, the numbers of the Holocaust survivors are really dwindling. And, you know, we obviously many of them, unfortunately, living below the poverty line, still lots of programs that are in place to try to support them. More than 900 Holocaust survivors over the age of 100 in Israel these days, which is an interesting statistic as well. So that's just a little bit about what we will be doing today. And of course, you know, the big question is, how is this relevant to us in our daily lives? I hope that people will take a moment to think about, you know, what the Shoah meant to us and what it means to you personally today. How do we respond to that? And how can we take lessons from the Shoah in order to ensure, A, that it doesn't happen again, but more importantly, perhaps, that it stays relevant to the younger generation who don't necessarily see the direct impact of the Shoah?
It's really the question. Hillel says, Holocaust Remembrance Day, do not forget who the perpetrators were. I do not ever buy German products unless there is no alternative. Fight anti-Semitism in every way possible. That's from Hillel. Would you agree with Hillel? Do you still not buy German product? I don't feel that. That isn't something that resonates for me at all. I believe that, and it was so interesting because we spoke to a historian at Yad Vashem yesterday morning, and one of the things that he said that really resonated for me was when I spoke to him about the fact that my late father wouldn't even buy a Telefunken television in 1970. Well, he wouldn't buy it in 1976 when it came to South Africa because TVs were just a fad and he wasn't going to be getting caught up in all of that. But later when we eventually did convince him that TV was here to stay, he would only buy a Philips. He wouldn't buy a Telefunken. And when I spoke to Yad Vashem and we were speaking about this, they said, well, that was closer to that generation, and it was quite an emotional response. Today, as we've moved further, we've been able to look at why these things happen, what the root causes are. He said what was so important, though, is you can't do only emotion and no intellect. You can't only do intellect and no emotion. We've got to pull those things together in order to educate the next generation. I thought that was a very profound way that he put it, and I'd love to hear from listeners, 34519 or 061-895-1019. How do you pull both of those together? Anthony, how do you do that?
Well, I think that, you know, what's interesting for me is that the Israeli government has a very, very close working relationship with the German government. Okay. Now, I think that that really sets the tone for a potential reconciliation, not in a way that will allow us to forget or to forgive what happened. But I think that we also need to reconcile ourselves and say, we wish to live in peace with those around us. And in order to live in peace with those around us, we need to be able to give that peace. And even though we might have been wronged, and of course, there is no doubt about what happened in those days, I think we are now moving forward into a different era. And I think that engagement in this particular aspect might be much more helpful than simply distancing ourselves and saying we are going to continue to, you know, keep our distance because of the things that happened then. I think that there are times when engagement is helpful. There are times when it is not, and it is good to say, listen, we don't want to have anything to do with that because we have an issue, we have a message to send, we have a position to take. But my view is that I think engagement has a role to play here, and I think that we could help to also educate some of the younger generation in Germany who don't necessarily understand what happened, in the hope that this will not be perpetuated in the future. And I think that, you know, our role in life is to ensure that something like that never happens again. And in order to ensure that it never happens again, we have to continuously be aware of how it happened, what transpired, what took place, what was the cause of it, and ensure that we work constantly against allowing that to happen again.
Yeah, interesting. Gimple says the whole of Europe was complicit. You need to not buy any European product with that attitude. And it is fascinating.
Or the USA.
Absolutely. Because as we've moved further away from the Holocaust, the immediate thing was obviously it was only Nazi Germany. But when we start to see what happened in Lithuania, in Poland, in many other parts of Europe, plus, as you say, the United States that was getting this information and still not doing anything about it, well, that becomes a very, very real issue. M says, while we cannot forget the Holocaust, not being free to buy German products is a miserable approach to life. Do we also stay weighed down by lesser hurts? That's M. Jenny says, Germany has apologized and continues to. They also paid reparations more than any of their collaborators. And I want to agree with Jenny on that. I know we are a little bit late for the news, but we'll just continue for a moment. One of the cities that I'm going to use the word love, but it isn't really. One of the cities that I most appreciate is the city of Berlin, because they don't deny the past. They've moved forward, but the past is so much integrated into the current city. So you've got the cobblestones, where Jews lived. You've got a lot of historical things. They've pulled their history and recognition of what went on into the current fabric of the town. And they haven't tried to deny it. They haven't whitewashed it. And I think that's very, very important. So I think that is of value. That's why I think what Jenny's saying is right, that they have apologized. They've paid reparations. And of course, it doesn't mean that we just forget about it and move on. But I do think there's some value in that. Antony Reich, unfortunately, we do need to leave it there. It is 8:02. I hope you have a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom. And we will, of course, chat to you on Monday.